Palmer. Very happy to be here tonight with you. Lovely auditorium that they let us have. But seems like everybody's so far back. The pulpit's almost out in the lot. I'm not used to ministering, you know, a nice big building like this and people so far away. I won't ask you to come forward, but it's going to be kind of nerve-wracking on me. You're sitting so far back and my voice being so bad, and it gets worse when I don't use it. But I appreciate the fact you will pray. And the Lord will help in this regard that we can be able to bring a message. That is, I'm not worried about the lack of the substance of the message. I'm worried about the substance in the old messenger. And it just seems like if the good quality of my throat depends upon diet, I'm a failure because the mouth won't give the throat a chance to recuperate. And you know, I don't know all the taste buds are in the tongue or not, but I guess a lot of trouble is that can't get all the parts cooperating. Of course, first of all, I have the inordinate desire to eat well. And the tongue has the inordinate desire to taste well. And between those unruly members, I'm having a job. I don't even know if diet would cure it, to tell you the truth. Tried that for a while and didn't do too good. I eat these little candies up here in case you think I'm indulging up here while you're sitting there, you know, having to listen and not being able to get a sandwich. It's they're not very tasty. Most people kind of think I'm, you know, sort of having something up here that tastes good, and they taste horrible, but they do have a good effect upon the throat. They're kind of warming and kind of nice that way. Now, we have a lot of time tonight, but I don't want to take a lot of time speaking. But we'll sort of try to slow down because I do speak a little bit too fast. And, you know, many people make the statement that people think before they speak. That's absolutely untrue. They just don't think long enough before they speak. So I'll be speaking pretty fast, and it's not, I hope it's not because I've not thought, but maybe sort of gear down, get a little calmer. You know, you get to preaching, you make a mistake because you know you're trained wrong. I was brought up in the wrong school, to be honest with you. I guess you were too, or you wouldn't have had to make a change. And being in the wrong school, I kind of learned to try to emphasize by, you know, raising the voice. Well, that's kind of silly because you could yell all the time you wanted that your Mercury was a Continental, but it's no use. You either got to have a Continental, then you don't have to raise your voice. The evidence is there. And, you know, we often try to gain a point by, you know, the shouting. And so I've done myself harm by, you know, doing a lot of yelling, and I never have got over it. I've never learned to ameliorate that bad habit by learning to speak, you know, a whole lot more softly. It's better to speak softly and carry a big stick than to do a lot of yelling and you don't have much stick, you know. Like Brother Bam told about the preacher, the colored brother that did so much yelling in service, his wife said, "Honey, how come you did so much yelling this morning?" He said, "I never heard you yell like that." "Well," he said, "it's this way, dear." He said, "What I lacks in lightning, I makes up in thunder." And, you know, that's not that maybe you don't have a lightning, but you try to make the lightning, instead of look, it try to make it sound. And so we have that problem of trying to emphasize you know, loudness, but the Word doesn't need that. The Word needs just simple teaching. And the emphasis, of course, is by the Holy Spirit. If it's right and you have the witness in your heart, then you'll say, "Well, that's right. I can just somehow know that's correct." Now, the message tonight isn't controversial here. But I'm sure it would be controversial in many places. I think it's a good way to start a new year, is to sort of get the people thinking. You know, we've had a year of thinking now, and it's just fine. I know we've done a lot of good thinking, but maybe we got to start this year with a lot more thinking. Kind of get our thinking realigned and wondering what the Word has said. And that's why I want to bring the message tonight on adoption, and maybe one more with it, to trace adoption in a couple of ways in order to really see, if we can, what has been said on this subject. Now, I know Brother Branham taught a lot on this subject. There's, I suppose, 5 or 6 tapes that you can get on it. Here you, him, Joshua Parallels, Ephesians, Manifestation of Sons of God, Predestinated Mysteries, Will, the Adoption, Why Was the Holy Spirit Given, and then others. I think Standing in the Gap, and the same message that was preached in the night service also. And then there are many, many more. But it's a subject that he began preaching on back, I think, in 62. It might have been before 62, but I think it was in 62. He began to elaborate upon this subject, which I'd like to take tonight. Now, it's nice to attempt to preach a more sprightly message or to bring in devotion and all, but all the time you can't do that if you're going to attempt to teach. And so you can get those messages if you haven't heard them, or you can get perhaps the manuscript. I don't think you can get it from spoken word. My manuscripts were printed up for me by someone else. But you go over it yourself and you see what you find on this subject. Now, before we begin the message, let's bow our heads once more in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come tonight, Lord, relative to Your Word. And we know, my God, that Thy Word is lively, it's quickening, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We know, my God, that everything lies in it. And for You Yourself designated that You were the Word. And so, our Father, we're looking now to You to show us the truth, knowing that of ourselves we don't have it. But because of the vindicated message, we have the truth all out before us. We know that we have all the mysteries revealed, that we have heard from You, Lord. And we believe there's no more message left, that we have heard the end time message, as Your prophet was given us to bring that word to us. But Lord, we have a legacy in the Holy Spirit, that He can now take the word that was taught to us and we might understand it, and thereby have our faith perfected, because we know that Enoch walked with God and was not on the grounds of faith. And we know that two cannot walk together unless they be agreed, and there cannot be any agreement or the merging of the minds unless there's an understanding. And so, Father, we look to You tonight for the understanding of Thy Word, which brings us into the realm of absolute, pure, unadulterated faith, which we believe, Lord, will bring us right back into restoration and right back to the kingdom of Almighty God, where we can come into the resurrection, the rapture, and the millennium. And so, Father, now we know that You'll be able to, by Your Spirit, keep the words, Lord, that You've given us exactly as You gave them, so there might not be any error, there might not be any error said or thought, but everything be just exactly right. We have confidence in You tonight, Lord, that this will happen. And so we praise You for it and glorify Your name. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn quickly to Ephesians, the 1st chapter. We'll read just one verse. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. In Romans the 8th chapter and verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the unveiling or manifestation of the sons of God. In verse 23, and not only they, or creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now you'll notice here that two verses which I read had to do with the adoption. Ephesians 1 and 5 and Romans 8 and 23. While Romans 8 and 19 spoke of the manifestation. Now the Bible tells us that all creation is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. Until that time, the Bible tells us that creation is in bondage to corruption. Notice that 21st verse. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory. Not glorious liberty, but it's actually the liberty of the glory of the children of God. Now, today nature is corruptible. We know that nature is almost entirely corrupted. But we thank God that there is coming a time when nature cannot any longer be corrupted. In other words, there will be no more pollution. There will be no more problems in this earth because man is going to be unveiled as the Son of God. And, of course, this will bring about the restoration of nature itself. Now, we also notice here that those who are born of Christ's Spirit possess the very life of Christ within them are also groaning because they are corruptible and they are waiting for the adoption. You'll notice that in verse 23. And not only nature or creation is groaning and having a problem, but it says, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. And of course, the first fruit Spirit is the Spirit of the resurrection. Because Christ is the first fruit. And remember, He is the first fruit from the dead. See? So if you have that same Spirit, then you already have the Spirit of the resurrection within you. And it says here that even though they've got it, they're groaning. Because they're also waiting for this manifestation, this adoption, this placing of sons. Because the word adoption means the placing of sons. Now all creation and nature is waiting for the manifestation, the positioning of the sons of Almighty God. Now we can draw a conclusion then from what we have discovered so far in this scripture. And that is the manifestation of the sons of God for which all creation is looking, is in reality the placing of the sons of God. In other words, Paul here is not talking about two different things. You know, many times you read in Scripture and you say, well, there's two different words used and so there's two different things. But that's not so. The unveiling is actually the positioning or the adoption of the sons of God. Now, to the sons it is placing and to the world it is manifestation. In other words, they'll see something that's brought forth into view. Because I think the word manifestation comes from the word manio, which means to to place into view. Now, to the sons it is placing. It is, see? To the world it's manifestation. In other words, the world will see what the sons already know. They're going to actually be allowed to see this great thing that is going to take place at the end of this age. Now, we also know that this manifestation, which, or placing, can come only at one time. And that's at the end time. Now, let's look at Romans 8 and 23 and see that. And not only nature, creation, Paul, they call it they here, the King James Version, the word they, of course, is not in the original. But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we that are born again, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, With that, let's check out 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Because that talks about this corruptible condition going. And in verses 51 to 54, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, notice what he says about the change of the man that's living at the time that the dead are raised to incorruptibility. For this corruptible, see, not that which has corrupted, see, not those that are gone on, but those that are standing there, this corruptibility. Now, this word corruptibility is something like me scratching myself. And if I keep scratching the material here, I'll wear a hole in it. See? In other words, it can be deteriorated and fall into disuse. This corruptible must put on incorruptibility. See, that which cannot be corrupted. And this mortal or death doomed must put on that which is immortal, meaning that death has no effect whatsoever upon it. It's invulnerable. It's no longer death doomed. It's into another category. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory?" That word grave is not in the original. It's death. O death, where is thy victory? Now, you'll notice that Paul said in this 8th chapter concerning the fact that we're waiting for this time to happen when nature and man will no longer be plagued from death. See? And it's at the end time. So, this placing or adoption can only take place in the time slot of the resurrection and the rapture. Now, you notice I said time slot. I'm watching my words very carefully, so you keep your ears very careful. If my mouth is careful, you must keep your ears careful. See? We got not hammering at you, but just warning you, be very careful. It's in the time slot that this manifestation takes place. See? Because corruptibility cannot take place until a certain area within the programmed times of God. It's in resurrection season. Notice the word season. Didn't say moment. Said season. See? Now you gotta watch it. Now, you will also notice, according to Ephesians 1:3-5, that this adoption or manifestation is the ultimate purpose of God for the church. And it has remained an unrevealed mystery until now. I'm quoting from Brother Branham. He said, "Brother Vail, has been a revealed mystery. I contradict you." Not meaning you here, but I mean the principle. I contradict the principle of thought. Brother Branham said it was an unrevealed mystery. See? Because the mysteries cannot be revealed until their season. Now, if you believe that we're at the end time, then you're going to have to gear your mind to that which is end time word. You don't gear your mind to what's gone on before. That's been fulfilled. It's passed away. You say, "Brother Vail, the Word of God doesn't pass away." I contradict you again. The Word of God does pass away and it's fulfilled. It says, "Heaven and earth shall not pass away, it'll all be fulfilled." Now you don't rub it out and say, "Well, it's not going to be in the heaven." It's once it's fulfilled here, it does not reoccur unless it has a compound application. But where do you find a compound application on a first resurrection? One only. See? And you know that the corruptibility leaves and incorruptibility comes in the first resurrection. See? Because that's bride. Now, we go to Ephesians, that first chapter, and look at it. Because I mentioned what it was already. Now notice, 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as God hath chosen us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Period. That's the Greek. In love, having predestinated us. The predestinating act of God, which gives Him the sovereign right to choose one and reject the other, is love. How many believe that? Come on, let me see your hand. You really believe it? How many can say amen?
Amen.
Well, a little weak in spot. You ain't got the joy I got. Because Paul said that the sovereign electing power of God is whereby we give thanks to God. 2 Thessalonians. Now, you're getting a little better now. I want to see where that spirit come out. We can't have any doubt here at all about a God who doesn't act in love. The world is convinced that God is an ogre if He chooses one and leaves the other. I'm absolutely convinced that God being God and God being love and God being what He said He was, I got no argument. I've come to that stoic place where I believe, shall not the judge of all this world do right? Amen! Now we're getting somewhere. I'm wandering off my subject, but I'm getting somewhere just the same. I want to get you to feel the spirit of reality because that's where we're at. We're at right at the closing day. See? Journey's almost over. We're nearing the shore. And believe me, we're not paddling any longer trying to get there. It's where there's going to be a wave, take it right in to the present. Now, in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, this is the ultimate purpose of Almighty God. The ultimate purpose of the placing of sons of Almighty God. Now, an ultimate is a conclusion. It's not only the greatest, it's also a conclusion. This is the very ultimate. Now, with this we go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and we read on. let's say about beginning in verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. See? The purpose of God is to bring forth these sons. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Him. Now, also in Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul said, beginning at verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which has given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. He already wrote it in that first chapter. See? Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, Paul had a knowledge, but notice, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, you notice right here, this gives the lie to those people who think that in any age, by the Holy Ghost, you could pick up the Bible and have a full revelation. You couldn't do it. Because it says here, Paul himself said, what the old prophets were looking at, they looked at darkly. They never had the revelation Paul had. You say, I believe David did. No, David didn't. Say, I believe Daniel. You're wrong, because Paul said they didn't. Now, what about at the end time? See? You're coming into the full revelation according to the book of Revelation, where it says all the mysteries of God are going to be revealed. See? Progressively coming up into a full revelation. So, a man goes to Bible school, said, I know it. He doesn't know for nothing. How's he going to know? How could the Westerners know what we know? Presbyterians go back to what? The Westminster Confession of Faith, I believe it is. And the Baptists go back to the Philadelphia. Both are wonderful. How can the Presbyterians or Methodists or Baptists or anyone else, in the face of what I have read and they know to be the truth, the Pentecostal, how can they believe that they had a full revelation back there when the Bible tells us distinctly it's at the end time when the full revelation comes? Here's a mystery right here that could not be known, could be merely guessed at until the end time. See? Now, bringing this out, that notice he said, this mystery here that Paul wrote about, he said the prophets only could look at it and know it was there, but they couldn't really apprehend it. I want to tell you, let's read a little further. Which he said here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers by of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You believe that's the truth? Let's find out if it's the truth. Let's just prove a couple points. We've got all night to wander. Don't worry. I'll be so tired I won't preach tomorrow night. We'll sing songs. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts, the third chapter. Peter full of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the third chapter, verse 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, that in thy seed should all kindreds of the earth be blessed. And unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Now listen, Peter, by the Holy Ghost, quoted the scripture that said the Gentiles were going to come into the kingdom by Jesus Christ. Then God gave him a vision of eating unclean things. And he said, nope, not me. Never touch them. And God said, don't you dare call common or unclean which I have cleansed. And then Peter goes right down to the house of Cornelius and he staggered to find out that God fulfilled the very word that he spoke under anointing. Holy man! Now you can see what I'm talking about. Where do you get this idea then? You can get it all one time. Even under manifestation of God's word being fulfilled, the apostle Peter did not understand it. No more than the Jews understood what they were doing when they saw the Lamb of God and turned him down. See? Peter did not even realize what God was doing, though he prophesied what the prophets had already prophesied. And then when God brought it to manifestation, Peter was about to turn it down, except that he saw the full manifestation and he knew that the Gentiles were receiving the Holy Ghost. And here, the very anointed word was fulfilled. What about our day? You got the same thing? Just because we've got a Bible doesn't mean the revelation's all been given. Who's to know what that revelation is, except the hour for which it was appointed? And how many even received the revelation of the appointed hour? So you got a picture right here you can't deny. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, the one to whom God gave the keys, he even doubted his own anointing by the Holy Ghost. You say he made an error. Thank God he just made a simple error. But you see, he swung right to the truth. Why? Because he was elected seed. You can't deny this. Come on, go ahead. You can't deny. It's the truth and you know it, see? Now, the unfolding revelation. See, Paul brings it out. Now, the Gentiles fellow heirs, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Was he made a minister? Why, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Very thing Peter prophesied. What about our day? Don't you think God's got to send a man or men to fulfill what he said for this day? No, we go on further now. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, or that's from times immemorial, times eternal, has been hidden in God, who created all things by Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church. Nobody else. Nobody else. What they're going to make known? The manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ His Lord. What was it? It's to bring forth manifested sons. God gave all of His wisdom and prudence in order to do it. Now, Paul says right here, the whole world is going to see what God has in His mind. Why has He done it? Not time. Church, first age couldn't have it, second age couldn't have it, third age couldn't have it, fourth age couldn't have it, fifth age and sixth age couldn't have it. And there's only one age left, and that's the seventh. It's got to have it, or the whole thing's a mess. Or the Bible just hit it right in a few places and just pass on. You got nothing but a Passover plot. There's only one time it can happen. Seven church age. See why? Because He hasn't done it in the other six. Now is God going to blow up? Is He going to abdicate the throne? I got news for you. He's on the throne and He's going to do exactly what He said. That in the fullness of times, He is absolutely going to bring into full view what He said He'd bring into full view. And the manifold wisdom of God, many facets, is going to be shown to us. Now with this, we read along in Ephesians the fourth chapter. Verse 9 is a good place to start. Now He that ascended. What is it but that He also descended first to the lowest parts of the earth? Who's that? That's Jesus. What did He do? He ascended. Before He could ascend, He descended, right? Where did He go? Lowest parts of the earth. Did His body go there? No. He just went to the earth. What went there? The soul went there. Thou not leave my soul in hell? Lowest parts of the earth. All right? Notice. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that He might fill all things. Now, just a minute. As they say, you know, this is not redundancy. This is a statement of two different facts. The ninth verse says that He that ascended, He first of all went down. Now then it says, He that ascended above all things. Who is that? Christ. What does it say? It said He descended. And then the Bible tells me that Jesus came down in human flesh, died upon Calvary, body went to the grave, soul went to hell, God raised Him, took Him to heaven, sent Him back. Came back as the Holy Ghost. Now where's your three God? Every Trinitarian theologian needs it, knows this. There is no Trinitarian theologian who hasn't studied Vincent. Read Vincent's word study. He will tell you that Jesus Christ came back as the Holy Ghost. That's all Vincent could tell us. Because He that died, ascended, and He that ascended, descended. You believe that's the truth? You want more proof? We're talking about manifestation. We'll get there. Acts, the third chapter. Let's look at it. Verse 26. Unto you first, God having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. When did Jesus come back to the Jews? The day of Pentecost. Show me one time He appeared to the Jews, to the disciples. Came back and gave the word. God raised up Jesus and sent Him to turn away the sins, and you can only have your sins turned away if you're born again. Otherwise, they'll meet you. He came back as the Holy Ghost. See? Now, watch what He did when He did this. He gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that's the building up of the body of Christ. How do you build a thing up? Well, in a little body, I think you start with the spinal column, don't you? I think that's what comes in first. They tell me, I don't know, I'm not another. I hate to fool with the human body. I used to get sick in school when they studied hygiene and stuff. I just can't take it. The sight of blood, especially home, just drives me into a panic. So I don't know exactly how babies start when it comes to the spinal column or some other part of them. I don't know how they develop. But understand that's it. If that's the case, then that's the foundation of a child. Then the ministry is responsible to bring about the full body of Jesus Christ over a period of time. see, to bring it into manifestation. Right. Because a baby must be manifested. See, there comes the birth. Now, till we all come A-double-L, we still are not all in. I believe there are still people out there waiting to be born again. If they're not, then they're already in. They're already in. Any minute now could be the resurrection. But it couldn't happen that all could have this until all came in. Because it's a body. See? Now, all come in the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now listen, it's got to come unto a perfect man. It's got to come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See? It's got to do that. Can't come short of it. It's got to come to it. See, otherwise, what's the Bible all about? See, we just can't say, well, look, I'm just going to stop here. See, I think I've come a long way now, and I think this ought to do it. Oh, no. No, sir. There's a church that's in the building. See, that's being built. And it's got to come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You show me a church that ever had it. See, never has. But it's got to have it. Otherwise, the Bible's wrong. See, we've got to get to this place. Now, how's it going to come? It's coming through a ministry of ministers. See? Now, notice, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head even Christ. It tells you until this time there will be amongst the people a misunderstanding and a mishandling of the Word of God. But there's coming a time when that won't be. There's coming a time when you'll no more be a child. In other words, you will no longer need to be taught, but you will take authority. You will come into possession of your inheritance. Now, this has to come to pass. And a ministry is to be available in order to bring it to pass. See? And it's in the church that this is taking place. from whom, that's Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by this, that which every joint supplies. How many joints are there in the church? Seven joints. Seven church ages. Seven church ages under the ministry will bring forth exactly what that church needs to bring it unto the full stature of the measure of that man which is Christ Jesus. Going to come. Now, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part. Notice, in the measure of every part. Now, brother, sister, you are not children. You know that God speaks of diverse measures. Hold your finger there. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. Paul speaking. He says, for we, verse 4, for we having many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Notice there, the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. According to what? Your measure. On teaching, according to what? Your measure. Exhortation, according to your measure. Your giving, according to your measure. Your ruling, according to your measure, what? Diligence. Everything is in measure. See? Even your ministries are numbered. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. See? Five. Signifying grace. Now, he said here, according to measure of every part, which maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It says that God gives the measure to every joint, so that every part, the seven parts, see, having what they need, will bring us up to this stature. See? Now the first age didn't have it. It had its measure. The second age had its measure. The third age has its measure. See? Now what are you getting in those ages? You are getting the Word in those ages, because that's what the fivefold ministry deals with. They don't deal with anything else. I know many people figure that you've got to have a gift ministry. Well, I got news to you. Paul, in the 12th chapter of Corinthians Numbers, he said, apostles, prophets, firstly prophets, apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and he stops numbering. He said, after that, after what? After the fivefold ministry comes what? Miracles, healing, so on. See? Does he say that the pastor's got to have a miracle ministry? No. They are adjuncts to the Word. Yet how many people go overboard for gifts and things, when it should be with the Word? It's the Word, my brother, my sister, that brings eternal life. Being born again, not of corruptible things, but by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And it's that Word that's given in the measure that will bring us to the end time and bring us up into Christ. Every joint supplying. See? There's a responsibility. Now, everything I read in Ephesians here was not actually fulfilled, nor could it be fulfilled till the end time, because that is when adoption or placing or positioning of the sons comes into being. There has got to be a time when Ephesians 4, 12 to 14 takes place. See? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby the lying way deceived, but speaking the truth, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are to come to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. How? By the word of the living God, which is given in every age. Now listen, there cannot be a fullness of Christ until the last member comes in. And when the last member comes in, you can't add any more, or you get imperfection. Remember, this is really impressed upon my mind, because years ago when I was a kid, we had what you called a fair in our town. And we'd bring our vegetables, an agricultural fair. And I didn't know the first thing about judging vegetables. I thought, oh my, if I got a great big vegetable, I'd win a prize. And I'd bring my great big gargantuan vegetables into the place, and every time I lost the prize. And I got me upset. I was mad. What's the matter? These freak jerks that are called judges won't give me a prize when I had the biggest carrot. Well, look, they didn't judge by size. They judged by the standard of perfection. And you know that's the word. And then I would get very unhappy, because those same imbeciles, as far as I was concerned, would reject my lovely rutabaga, which had a prong on it. I thought, well, this is really something they should give first prize to, because it doesn't just have the one root, it's got another root. Like when I was a kid, I'd open an orange, and I'd be so happy because it had a little orange inside. Now, you see, now that was a child. When I grew up, I put away childish things. Now, you just don't ask the judge to judge with such a foolish thing as that. If a vegetable has got a prong on it, it's out. If it's got a little something inside of it, out. Now look, it's got to be perfect. So with that bride, the body of Christ cannot have one less or one too many. Amen. We're not looking for great big churches and big programs and saying millions are going to be saved so that millions now living will never die. You find that verse in the scripture, and I will rob a bank to get you $1 million. If I got to shoot a guard to do it. You say, you bloodthirsty heathen. No, I'm just telling you, I'll never be in danger. It's not in the Bible. Amen. Then God won't back it up. Amen. Won't back up a creed and dogma. But you see what we're coming to? It's the fullness we're coming to. It's got to be full, and the body is not full until it's completed. As Irenaeus said, when the last elected member to the body of Christ comes in, then comes that rapture. See, Christ can come. So you see what we're dealing with. And it's this word ministry that's going to bring it to that place. Why? Because God said so. I'm not Lee Dale saying so. It doesn't matter what I say. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't even preach this. This is so foreign to my concept of what I would think is right, but it's not what I think is right. It's what the Word of God says is right.
Amen.
See? I could say, well, the first church age had it. Look it. The first church age could have had the rapture because they had what that age needed, but they didn't have the body. The church second age could have raptured, didn't have the body. How would you women like to bring forth a baby in the second month? Have a miscarriage. The third month, even the seventh month is dangerous. But with God, seventh perfection. And the seventh church age, He is going to bring forth a people. See? There's going to come a resurrection and a rapture. Now, the bride of the body can only be filled at the end time. The church has never yet grown up into Him, or the fullness of God would be manifested. Now, I know that right away the thinking goes to this. Well, as soon as the bride is just ready, that's all there is to it, should be caught up. I don't see that by Scripture. I see when the fullness comes, then the fullness of Christ will be evident. See, and the fullness of Christ to be evident means then that the greater works will be done. And at no other time could this be done. Now, we're speaking of the church, not an individual. You notice the theme is not for individuals, it's the church. Christ in the bride. We're talking about a people. See? We're identifying with what the age will bring forth. And the age will bring forth a manifestation. Now, the subject of the, as Brother Branham taught us, is difficult for most people to understand because they're confused about sonship and the placing of sons. They're confused about those two thoughts. Also, they have been taught that the placing of sons is the resurrection and is not the capstone ministry of the Word and works of Christ and the bride. And the reason they believe that is because of Romans 8 and 23. Let's look at it. Paul said here, that 23rd verse, and not only they but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groaning in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, and the King James Version says to it. It's not in the Bible. We're waiting for the adoption. It does not say the adoption is the resurrection body. You got two things in there. We are waiting for the adoption, which is in resurrection season. Now, the capstone work in ministry. Now, first of all, let us see that sonship is not the same as the placing of sons. And in order to do this, we're going to study the life of Christ. And from the life of Christ, we will draw a parallel in the Scripture to our particular position. Now, Christ is acknowledged as the Son of God in the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 to 17. All right? Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of John. John forbade Jesus, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And after the Spirit of God filled him, and he became the fullness of the Godhead bodily, a voice then said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell, or in whom I am well pleased. You'll notice in here that God acknowledged the sonship of Jesus by baptizing him with the Holy Ghost. The next thing you'll notice is, in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, that Jesus is now tested. He is led by the Spirit of God to the wilderness, and there he is tested by the devil. Now, concerning that testing, which you can read for yourself, I turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and I read about that testing. Notice what it says in the 5th chapter, speaking of Jesus. And we read verses 7 to 8. who in the days of his flesh. What kind of flesh? Human flesh. When he'd offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto God that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The suffering of Christ, a son being tested. First of all, he's acknowledged. Secondly, he is tested. Thirdly, we go to Matthew chapter 17. In verses 1 to 5, after 6 days, after six church ages, put it that way if you want, Jesus taketh James, Peter, and John, and his brother John, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, Jesus was not changing his physical body. This is a vision. See? And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make one, three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, don't hear me anymore. I'm stepping aside. Here is the adoption. Christ placed as a son. As Brother Branham said, and you can read it yourself in one of the tapes that I mentioned earlier. I forget just which one it was. It might be the tape in adoption. He said when Jesus fulfilled his ministry of complying perfectly with the Word of God, believing it, fulfilling it, then God could say concerning him, you are now ready for full authority. I'm stepping back. From now on, let the people hear you. I am turning over the ministry to you. In other words, co-equal. An absolute oneness with Almighty God. See? Jesus knew his day. When he was speaking to the disciples, he knew his day that day when he said, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father and the Father in me. See? This is the placing or the manifestation of the Son of God. When God took him out and robed him before the people, before the witnesses of angels. See? And set him forth and said, this is my son. See? The adoption. Now, let's look it up. Do we have the same things given to us according to Scripture? Do we have an acknowledgement? Do we have a testing? Do we have a placing? We go first of all to Galatians, the 4th chapter. Verses 6 to 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. I'm sorry, I didn't read the fifth verse. To redeem... 6 and 7, that's what I want, yeah. Because you are sons, see, God has sent forth the Spirit into your, of his Spirit... of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice in here that God does not give you the Holy Ghost in order to make you a son. Now this is legalistic teaching. Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, and all the rest of the legalistic. You see, they don't believe you're a son. They believe through some divine alchemy, you that were a hog and a dog. Right? Sow, dog, goat. By some divine alchemy, God made you, changed you from a dog to a sheep, from a hog to a sheep, from a goat to a sheep. Now that's nonsense. Because God laid down the irrevocable law that everything comes by the seed. You always were in a son of God. See? God gives you the Spirit because you are a son. The Holy Ghost does not make you a son. The Holy Ghost is given because you are a son. Now, if you don't believe me, believe the Bible. Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit. God sent forth the Spirit to Christ because He was the Son. Not to make Him a son, but because He was the Son. Remember Jesus, God said to John the Baptist, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining, that one is the Son of God. The Holy Ghost did not make Him a Son of God. He was the Son of God. It was the acknowledgement of God, this is my Son. See? Sealing Him in. Okay, with this, Galatians, the third chapter, 26-27, I believe it is. 26-29. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This is your portion there. That's where your faith went. Because you are, see? For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. What's the promise? The Holy Ghost. And because you are seed, you receive the Holy Ghost. If you weren't seed, you wouldn't receive the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Word and the Holy Spirit that's thrown upon the seed to bring forth the light. See? Now, let's go a little further. Let's go to Acts the 10th chapter. Same thing. 44-46. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were astonished. They did not know that these were Abraham's seed. But because they were Abraham's seed, the Holy Ghost was poured upon them. And you see, this is the acknowledgement that these are the sons of God because they have received the Holy Ghost. And how can anybody say he's the Son of God and deny the baptism with the Holy Ghost and say, I will have the Holy Ghost when I believe? You did not have the Holy Ghost when you believed. You received the Holy Ghost after you believed. You say, but Brother Bill, I got these wonderful friends. Brother, sister, when are you going to come to the day that every man be a liar, but God be true? You say, where do you stand? I stand that Lee Dale is a liar, an abject, abysmal liar. Coming to the words, Brother Bill says, speak a lie, let God be true. You say, what if he cast in hell? Let God be true. What if anything you stand for goes to ashes? Let God be true. You know why? Because he is true. And I'm not going to be the kind of a fool that denies it. Not trying to be hard, but nailing it down. You can't resist God or change his mind. And don't try. God acknowledging his son. Who was this Jesus? Let's walk him down the street. You couldn't tell him from another fellow. You couldn't tell a thing different from him. My buddy talking to a certain individual that had his clerical garbs on, and he talked about Christ, and he said, you know, he said, I don't think he had to wear a certain garment, you know, to make the people know who he was. You have your collar turned on backward or any other way. Or this kind of a title and that kind of a title. You couldn't tell Jesus from anybody else going down the road. When John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, they just sneered and snorted. They said, what nonsense is that? Lamb of God? Why, a Lamb of God takes away sin? That's a creature that you shed blood and put it on their altar. Now, the Word of God distinctly says, you can't shed man's blood as a sacrifice to God. And don't you dare tell me that's the Lamb of God. Get that John the Baptist out of here. But we people that call ourselves Christians, oh, how we shed our tears over those poor people who turned down the Lamb of God. And then they'll turn down a vindicated prophet who had thus saith the Lord. What's the matter, people? Well, now listen. See, we got no time, brother, sister, to be shilly-shally hypocrites. And let's get down and face reality. Is there such a thing or isn't there? Was there a man with thus saith the Lord? If there was, how come a God is so weak, so ridiculously stupid, as to let a man come on the scene with "Thus saith the Lord," and it comes right to pass. Do you think that God has that little integrity concerning his own honor? That he would let a man come in the name of the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord," and that thing come to pass if God wasn't behind that man? Amen. What kind of a God do people think we're serving? See? I think we're back to the day when God is some bewhiskered, poor old befogey guy leaning on a cloud and said, "Oh my, oh my, oh my." Not my kind of a God. How jealous are we of our honor? Somebody came and said, "I want to tell you, Mr. Bob Uriah Jones said so-and-so." I got to throw something in like that because nobody's named Bob Uriah Jones. Not calling names out now. Why, if Bob Uriah Jones was living and the guy said the wrong thing, he'd say, "Listen, fella, I want to tell you, I never said that." Now you think of a man born in sin like you and I are born in sin, have the common decency and courtesy to stand up for a little chicken picking bit of idea we got for our little integrity, because we got nothing. See? Just picking out there a little bit of crumb here, there, like a bunch of chickens. Because that's what we were, sort of, you know. We were eagles, really. We were out there with the chickens. Picking around with that bunch. What do you think about God? You think he's a little picking here and picking there? Not my God. You don't change him. You don't fool with him. See? Now, here's where we stand, see? We stand on the truth of the Bible that God indicates his Son. Yet how many people were told to, they got a, you know, almost, I don't know what they've been taught. I know the many things I was taught about receiving the Holy Ghost. You almost think you had to learn to twist God's arm somehow. Brother, sister, we had been taught right. There had been no doubt and no fear about receiving the Holy Ghost, because he himself said, if you know how to give good gifts, how much will the Father give the Holy Ghost unto the asking? God giving the Holy Spirit, indicating who his sons are. Now, are these sons tested? Let's find out. Galatians, the 4th chapter. Galatians 4, 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed the father. Now, it tells you right here, the truth of the matter is, children, they're sons, they're heirs, that's right. But they've got to be under discipline, which is the training that Jesus Christ went through. Now remember, he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. There was an actual demonstrable or demonstrated growth in the life of Jesus Christ. You say, well, he was born to be the receptacle of God and to be manifested. That's just fine. I'm all for it, because that's the truth. But he had to grow. See? He came under submission. See? Now, remember, as he was under submission to his parents, I just use that word loosely, because only Mary was the parent. Joseph had nothing to do with him. See, using it very loosely. But he was under authority to Joseph. Except where it came to the word of God drawing that difference. Know ye not I must be about my father's business? I only say what he says and do what he tells me to do? Now, you see, here's where your obedience comes in. The training comes in. The child training. Now, with this, we go to Romans 8 chapter, and we see the very same thing. Romans 8. All right? 18 to 23. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Now, you cannot have a statement like that and not realizing that suffering precedes glory. Yes. Glory is based upon suffering. Yes. See? And the suffering has to do with the Word. Yes. Jesus Christ did not suffer except through that Word. Joseph did not suffer except through that Word. Neither do we suffer except through that Word. Persecution always comes by the Word. We don't stone you for a good work. We stone you because you stayed with the Word. You made yourself God. What else should he have made himself? He said, if I deny the Son of God, I'm a liar like you. See? It's the Word that brings the problem. See, because this is the criterion. Now, we keep reading. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting until the church gets through suffering. It's got to fill up the measure of the suffering which Christ left. If you want to be like Christ, you've got to suffer like Christ. And you can only suffer and bear fruit according to your stand on that word. Oh, brother, sister, listen. I know people are going to stumble over this, but I don't stumble anymore because I just believe the word. I don't care what anybody thinks anymore, but I can produce a good Hindu that'll suffer just like everything for his religion and do a better job than most so-called Christians or just as good. See? Sure. What's the suffering going to be then? With the word. You pin that Hindu down with the word, he's got like a shot. See, it's that word. We are in rebellion within our own souls for only one reason, because we're against that word. There can be no rebellion in any man that's one with that word. See? Now let's examine us tonight. It's a good time to make examination of our hearts, but brother, sister, that's the truth. If we're not towing that line, it's and seeing the grace of God, it's because we're rebelling against that word, see? Now, notice. He said, even we are having our problem. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In other words, creation didn't get itself in this mess. God allowed it with the hope that from the suffering would come a regeneration, a restoration. See? Now then, let the church go through the measure of suffering that Christ left to fill up. Let the body go through it. And there's only one thing left, and that's glory. See, the members haven't all come in, and the suffering is not completed, and the word has not been fully revealed. I mean now, not that the prophet didn't bring the full revelation, I mean now concerning the fact that moment by moment of what he said has not yet come to pass. What I'm dealing with tonight hasn't come to pass yet, in its full outflowing. See, now, also, reading along, and not only they but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we are groaning. We're waiting for that adoption. We're waiting for the end time. And suffering will continue until the sons of God have all been manifested through the ages by suffering so they can be further manifested with the glory. See? Now, sons placed. Well, we read a lot of that already. The sons were placed according to what Paul said here in this 8th chapter. We're waiting for the hour. Now notice from what I said. We have a parallel to understand the adoption in the life of Christ. Christ acknowledged as the Son of God. The Holy Ghost fell upon him. Christ tested. He learned obedience by suffering and showed that he was worthy to be that Son. Thirdly, he was manifested or adopted in the 17th chapter. We go through the same process. We are given the Holy Ghost because we're sons. Then we are tested. Otherwise, Hebrews 12 said we're bastard children. Thirdly, we'll come into the manifestation, which is where God said, hear you him. I am giving him the authority. So the authority at the end time goes into a manifested position in the sons of God. Now, we can see. Watch carefully. That no matter how spirit-filled was Paul, and you'll admit he was spirit-filled, nor no matter how many other mighty saints were spirit-filled in all the ages, the placing of sons could not take place until the time or the season for the redemption of the bodies. God now dealing with the bodies to bring up the precious fruit of the earth. The bodies were not only to be redeemed from the earth, but redemption also applies to the deliverance of the body from physical ills and suffering. Let's go to Hebrews 11:35 and see it. Hebrews 11:35. All right. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting redemption. The word in the Greek is deliverance, is redemption. that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, the only way the body can be delivered from physical problems and temptation is by death, or by God bringing into effect at a certain time what He promised to the end-time believer, that he would not die but put on immortality. Right. Because the bodies will not only be delivered from the grave, they will be delivered from the temptation and the sicknesses and the affliction right here. There will be a deliverance. Now, death alone can bring deliverance. Unless God at the end time does something special apart from death whereby He brings that deliverance. See? Now, God must get the bride back to where she was before she fell. See? Now, you know that Adam and Eve were immortal under the clause of a covenant. Prune the garden and stay away from perversion. They broke the covenant and mortality fell. But she's got to go back to immortality. There's got to be a bride in this earth that's immortal. You know that as well as I do. Now, she's got to go back to where she was before she fell. Also, it must be Christ working in the bride the same power, now listen, the same power that He used to overcome the grave in order for her to miss death and bring up the rest of the bride from the ground. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and see if that's true. 17 to 20. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, number one, what is the hope of His calling, two, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and thirdly, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in place. Now, the Bible tells you right there that we are to know the actual resurrection of Christ in authority. Because it was this power that He's got now at the right hand of majesty where He has all authority. And the Bible says that we are going to come to that authority. The actual power of Christ in the bride. Now, it's got to come because Paul said we're praying for it. Now, if you're going to have this as a dividend in the resurrection, why pray for it? I don't have to pray for something as far as I'm going to get a dividend just on its own. But Paul is praying. Now, of course, the bride by selection of God is going to have this dividend. But you notice how he prays for it. He prays for it on what ground? The grounds of a revelation. See? The revelation which we'll have. Now, the authority is coming. Now, having covered this much scripture, to understand that there is to be at the end time an actual manifestation, the placing, the adoption, whatever you want to put it, I want to read to you what Brother Branham said from his various tapes. I didn't get all the quotes down because that would be taking six tapes. Here's what he said. Hear ye him. Now, you ministers know what I'm getting at. Placing of a son. Now, if that son is proven to be a right kind of a son, loves the Father's business, stays right with His instructions, and then the Father on a certain day puts that son out before the public. Where? Before the public. Sets him on a high place, clothes him in a beautiful garment, and he had what they call the adoption of a son. Placing a son positionally what he was. See? They had a ceremony and the Father said, this is my son. I adopt him or place him positionally. And if they had checks in those days, the son's name on the check was just as good as his father's name because he was placed. And the son could hire and fire whom he wanted to. He was in full possession of what the father had. Now, we see Jesus had proven to God that he'd been the right kind of a son, and God took him up on the top of the mountain, brought witnesses out there, both heavenly and earthly, and clothed him in immortality. His garment shone like the sun. Something supernatural had taken place. Notice the word. Something supernatural had taken place. God was showing that He had received him. That's the thing that God will do to His sons on earth someday. He'll call you aside, church, if you'll only obey Him and stand on the word and believe it, and He'll place into the church before the coming of Jesus Christ all the powers that Christ had in him. All that God was, he poured into Jesus. All that Jesus was, he pours. Not P-O-U-R-E-D, past tense. He pours. P-O-R-O-U-R-S. This is the imperfect tense going on. See, he is pouring into the church. God, wanting his work done, he sent it into his Son. The Son, wanting the work done, sent it into the church. At that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me and I in you. At that day, because the same power that is in us, in Jehovah God, rested in Jesus Christ. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the placed sons in the body of Jesus Christ. See, placing of a son. Took him out in a certain place. Have a ceremony before angels and place him positionally. What he is in the body of Christ. What he is, see? Then that person has the authority. Not before. Let me say that if you count me a fanatic from this night on, the very same thing I'm speaking of will be done. There'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming, in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word, and it will create itself like that. In other words, what was spoken. We haven't seen power that's coming into the church now. In other words, it wasn't there before. It's coming now. I know it for a fact. Say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass, and you can have what you have said. The placing of the church in the position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. Then the very same thing I'm speaking of will be done. There'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming, in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word, and it will create itself like that. In other words, what was spoken. We haven't seen power that's coming into the church now. In other words, it wasn't there before. It's coming now. I know it for a fact. Say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass, and you can have what you have said. The placing of the church in the position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. Then the critic's mouth will be shut. It'll be a short time. Jesus just came off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice it won't last long, but it'll be here. Adoption. 1960, not 62. I got a mistake in there when I said it. Preached in 60. Adoption. Placing positionally. Where are they at? Show me where they're at. God calling his children aside by manifestation. They don't have to say one word about it. You see things happen positionally, placing his son, getting him into order. Just exactly the same thing. He's just as much authority. His words are good as archangels. Better. The son was adopted, put on a high place, set out there, changed his robe, changed his color. The father had a ceremony and said, this is my son. From henceforth, he's governor. He's ruler over all my heritage. All I've got belongs to him. Do you believe in dispensations? Dispensation of fullness of time? Dispensation of Mosaic law? Dispensation of John the Baptist? The dispensation of Christ? The dispensation of organization? There was a dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now is the dispensation of adoption. The world is waiting, groaning. When the dispensation of the fullness of time comes, when the dead rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, it's right here today. It is. This is not age number 6, this is age number 7. It's here. See? You're not waiting for some dim distant future. This is the hour. He said, I don't see anybody raising the dead. So what? This is still the hour. No matter what you say or don't say, what you see and don't see, this is the hour. See? Now, predestined mysteries will. No. Continuing adoption. But this is the day, listen, this is the day of the manifestation of the sons of God, when the mysteries which have been hidden since the foundation of the world will be made known. Now, if the mysteries have been made known, then we're in the day of the manifestation. Why? Because this is the end time. This is what the ministries are for. To bring us up to this place. See, I know the world's not looking for it. They're just looking for suddenly there'll be trains going down the track and they're engineer. This is so silly because they've taken almost all the trains off. Now, where's that thing gone to? Who even needs a pilot to bring in an airplane? Put it on automatic. Here she goes. Now, where's your crashes? You see how the words of man become so silly and futile because they cannot be fulfilled. Don't mix your own ideas with scriptures to stay the word of God. Because it all, God's not going to back up your word and mine. Oh, Brother Vail, I prayed. So what? God can forgive you for praying in ignorance, but it's just not the best thing to do. That's right. Many people pray in ignorance. God can't bless your word and my word because he's got to bless his own word. Remember, he exalts his word above his name, and we always pray in his name, so it's his word he exalts above it, so pray his word. Right? Some great man of God said years ago, and I always loved the idea but never knew where it came from. He said, God wants only to hear his own word given back to him in prayer. Now I know where it's in the Bible. I have greater love than ever for it. Predestinated Mysteries Will, May 22nd of 60. We've got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. What does that ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. After the church takes its position, we're called to the adoption of the sons of by the Holy Spirit. And when a man takes his position, what God has called him to, and stands to the end of the road going after the lost. He'll be going after the lost, it says right here. Don't be slacking off. Many people say, well, I wonder if we can still win souls. I believe maybe it's all over. I don't believe it's over. Win all the souls you can. 1964, the last thing Brother Branham said to me when I went to New York, he said, Brother Vail, win all the souls you can. I'll be praying for you. That was in November. 64. He never did cease to take the position of casting that net. See? Now, reading further. Why is the world and nature groaning and crying? For the manifestation of sons of God, when true sons, born sons, sons, filled sons, speak, and their word is that. I believe we're on the border of it right now. Yes, sir, say this on. Let it be so. Brother, I desire so-and-so, a certain thing done. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I give it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a manifestation. Oh, brother, my crops are burning up out yonder. I haven't any rain. I'll send you rain in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There it comes. Now, there's many more quotations. But from these, it is evident that this is... Now, to me, it's evident. I don't know about you. Now, you do what you want. To me, this is evident that this is the third pull manifestation in the bride. Now, I may cause controversy here, but it's okay by me. I mean, it's all right. I never did claim I was infallible. That's the prophet's job. But as I understand what Brother Branham taught, this manifestation from what he taught in 60 and in 62 and carried over into 63, 4, and 5 and calling it the third pull can only be the same thing because they do the same thing. See? I believe it's the manifestation of the third pull on the bride. I don't say now that it's the third pull on the bride. I said it's the manifestation of it. See? Because that third pull's in and out. Or speaking the word and what they say comes into being. The words of no man can do that. Only the word of God can do that. So the word and the bride become one. And she has thus said the Lord. Isn't that what God said? This is my son, hear him. All right, then what about the fact we say the same things he said, it comes to pass? You got the same authority. Brother Branham said when that word, that bride becomes so one with the word, in order to approach unto him to be united with him, she will have thus said the Lord. And he said there'll be no man will ever change her mind or get her to opposite. And she won't speak unless she has it. See? What kind of a person is that going to be? The manifest of sin. Now the prophet said the church could do this only when she is positionally placed. That's exactly right. As I understand adoption, this will take place before the resurrection or our change. For to me there would be no necessity of giving rain when we're already changed. You say, well, that could be to the total loss then. That's the loss. And by that time they know too late. You could be right there, but from what Brother Branham taught, It's my understanding that this will take place before the resurrection and it could continue during it. As I understand it, I say. Now, since this adoption is a manifestation that all can see, and will truly make a difference between bride and non-bride, it might make some wonder why Brother Branham said that the showdown is Mount Zion or the rapture. Also, why did he tell us and caution us not to look for some great sweeping thing? See? You say, well, it's going to be that manifestation. How can they not see? Well, let me put it this way. Up until this time, we have no way. In other words, until the manifestation comes, and there is no way to know bride except by the word test. A certain brother not long ago, looking forward to this which is going to come to pass, said he was accosted by a UPC brother. I don't mean to throw off on him because I'm not. That's just the truth of the matter. And this brother said, well, brother, I want to tell you this. I'd like to see a bride. I'd like to know who is bride. And this brother had gasped, I couldn't show him. I couldn't tell him. I couldn't say, brother, come to my church. I couldn't say, brother, go to this church. I said, later on, why didn't you bring him to me? I just give him the word test. Do you believe the Bible when it says, if a prophet comes in the name of Jehovah, saying, thus saith the Lord, and the thing comes to pass, you're supposed to hear? Do you believe that? And why did you hear William Branham? Why did some of your ministers say when he died, well, thank God that hypocrite got killed. High time. How come your church said he couldn't be ready to come to us? Let's give the word test. This is no great mystery. Brother, sister, give it the word test tonight. Did the Roman Catholics know Luther? They did not. Did the Lutherans know Wesley? They did not. Did the Westerns know Pentecostals? They did not. Did the Pentecostals know William Branham? They do not. You say, you're writing everybody. I'm not writing anybody else. It's not my job to write somebody in, unchristianized or anything else. I have to stand with the Word of God. Now you do what you want. I can't help you one bit. You can't help me one bit. It's where we take our stand with the Word. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word of God shall it be fulfilled. Now if that Bible declared there would be there's such a thing as a prophet, now I don't say, well, Brother Bale, let's face it, this is to Israel. Well, that certainly sounds good. You mean then the Gentiles wrote in turn? What if God should send a man with thus set the Lord then to a Gentile? He'd be a Gentile. What are you going to do? And God back here, this man has he's so bold, he's so brazen. He comes and he said, thus saith the Lord. What about the guy? What about in Africa? And that man bent over like an animal, naked, from injury shortly after birth, bent over like a hairpin, his hands touching the ground like his feet. With a chain around his neck like an animal. And they making a circus perform around him. And he'd dance up and down like an animal for a few coins. And Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. You're healed. Now come on! Show me of the 3 billion and a quarter of people in this world all together do that one thing. Show him in India, the man blind looking at the sun until his eyes were rotted out. And then the Jains and the rest of them sit there, 17 different ones sit there, and he said, let your God do it. Amen. Now he said, let's judge. If the God that I worship, Jesus Christ, can heal this man and make this man have his eyes set, will you believe him? Now let's see somebody get action. Here's the man, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, you're healed. The man's eyes break open. Now show me the words of man to do that. See, there's where we stand so strong with this word. You say, Dale, you're a fanatic. All right, thank God I'm a fanatic. I don't write anybody out of any book. You've got the same chance I've got. Tonight. Certainly these things are so. Look. I'm going to tell you something. We believe the record of 4 Gospels here. We didn't know one of them. I never saw one time that Jesus raised the dead. That's right, I never did. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. I wasn't there one time he raised opened anybody's eyes. I wasn't there one time any cripple got healed. I wasn't there. Throw it out. Go ahead. But I was there twice when two people died. And he raised them both. I was there countless times when the blind eyes opened. I was there when I went 2,000, not one missed. Every club foot, every cripple was healed. I was there the night he said, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing. Let's wake up. Brother, sister, you can't even make the Bible explain the Bible. This book has got to come to life. And I saw it. I was there that night. I was there that night when he said, I've challenged you. Bring me, see the 24, 25 worst cases. Guaranteed them all. He said, but you've got prayer cards, he said. I'll lay it on your hands. He said, 60% going through the prayer line get healed. Now you vote, because you've got the prayer card. Who wants to see the 24, 25 miracles? A couple raised their hands, maybe. I might have been one for all I know. No, I couldn't. I didn't have a card. He said, okay, how many want to go through the prayer line? All raised their hands except a few. And you know what happened that night? There weren't 24 miracles. There wasn't one missed out of about 1,500 to 2,000. You hear what I'm saying? Not 24, but 60 times to 75 times 24. Stand up on the man possessed of an evil spirit, eyes blind. And he said, I adjure you, come on in Jesus' name. Didn't move. He didn't say, do you see? Can you see better? Are your colors here not like we all do? He didn't move, he said. He said, I adjure you, come on in Jesus' name. He didn't move, he said. But he'll come this time. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of that man. He said, he sees. Man scream out there it was. Show me somebody who did that. You say, you're preaching a man. Am I? Did William Branham do it? Don't be silly. I saw God with my naked eyes. Not William Branham, and I saw God with my naked eyes. In every miracle I saw God. Because that's the only part of God my naked eyes can see, and I saw. Hallelujah! What a wonderful new year. I believe Jesus is coming sooner than you think. Listen, brother, sister, give him the word test. That's all we got right now. Give them the word test. You believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6? Yes. To the Jews or the Gentiles. Their own words destroy them. If Jesus Christ is going to come according to every Protestant who's got who's got the truth, the fundamental belief, that Jesus Christ leaves the throne and comes to the midair and meets his bride, then he's come. That's part of the coming. Every fundamentalist says there's two parts to the coming of Jesus Christ. Now he said, if I don't send Elijah, I'll come with a curse. Since the rapture coming is a blessing, then Elijah must precede the blessing, and then Elijah must come to the Gentiles. Now why don't you believe me? Do you know that William Branham had more vindication than John the Baptist ever had? Except for one thing, Jesus stood on the scene having been vindicated himself and said John was the one. But what about a man that stands alone with God and the pillar of fire and you see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles? Yes, give him the word test. Until this time, the word test is where we stand. See? Now, at the adoption time, there will be creative word and a powerful fivefold ministry, such as men like Stephen and Philip mightily used to God. Now, that's just a blanket statement. How mightily? I don't know. If I had one thus to the Lord, I'd figure I was mightily used to God. I could call it an eternity right there. I believe, as Brother Branham said, it's at this time Ananias Sapphira repeat. The bride will be surely separated. Now then, the worldly church will not see the truth but fight all the harder. Because Brother Branham said the third pull comes into manifestation when the squeeze comes down. The squeeze hasn't even begun to come down yet. And boy, we're like a bunch of bullfrogs on a lily pad with a million mosquitoes just hovering around waiting to be caught. We don't know the first thing about trials, tribulation, or suffering. We've got it so good here, and whatever you want to call it, it's pitiful. I'm ashamed and embarrassed. I'll be honest with you. I'm ashamed and embarrassed. We've got it so good. If we get so down, we got to go to relief. And bless God, there's five agencies fighting to get us because y'all want a pork chop out of the pork barrel. Yeah, they do. And because if you and I wouldn't go there, then they'd close down and they'd lose their cushy job. Because they love government payroll. That's where taxes are high. Feeding pork chop. See? The worldly church will fight all the harder. Brother Branham said so. And I believe even amongst those who now teach this message will arise greater differences and animosity. I believe there's no doubt about it. I'm in my heart. See, Brother Bale, if this thing is so great, how come you divide it? Mixed multitude. I got the type in Exodus. Mixed multitude. Who went in? Those that heard the word and believed it. They all heard it preached, but it wasn't mixed with faith. See? Now, we go further. Thus, even with vindication by manifestation, will there be no true revelation, or recognition rather, until it's all over. See? To me, I am sure the difference can be known in a measure. But when you see how blind Israel was to Christ's ministry and the ministry of the early bride, except they said, these men have been with Jesus, but we still can't stand. That's right. When you see how blind they were, how many at the end time were really recognized brides? In my understanding of the Word of God, only one man entered into what is termed the wedding supper without a garment. Just one was interested enough to want to be a part of it. And he came in the wrong way through a door of a creed or a dogma. See, who already know who is bride? As for me, I am not banking on it, though I say it's possible. I do not bank on anyone running up to me, though it could be possible, or maybe running up to you, and say with great assurance, I really know your bride. They're not doing it now. In fact, we're accused of a lot of things, of unchristianizing everybody, following a man, see, all other things, see, not knowing that at this minute, we are simply waiting, the same as Paul was, for an end-time group, an end-time bride, to receive the full revelation and come into the end-time manifestation. Now, there is a basic difference, and always has been, between bride and non-bride. Even those that approximate very closely, we have great love for them, sometimes very tragic feelings of heart. I can honestly say with Paul, that I could wish myself a curse for my brethren's sake if it would do any good. I'd be glad that many men might live that I might die. Certainly let them die. Let them live. I could die for them. But it doesn't work that way. Christ died. And he's laid down the conditions. And the conditions are the word. See? Now, the word test, the basic difference is the word. Now, with this in mind then, what is the position of the bride at this minute? The position of the bride at this minute is Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 and 15. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the bride has within it at this very moment the full potential of what is to come forth. She already got it. She's already sealed in. So did every one of the bride in every age have the full potential, but the hour was not yet. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, one with this word, and you know where that starts. It starts with, thus saith the Lord. You recognize it. You fear it. You hear it. You see, I don't care what I was taught. I don't care what I taught myself. I don't care what I think I know as an individual who believes he's got God. I adhere to thus saith the Lord. That's your start. See? Now you've got, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit, you've got the potential. And you've got the revelation. Because you know what you're coming to. Now, what's the next thing? The next thing is the bride in Matthew 24. Verse 44 beginning. Wherefore, therefore, be you also ready. For at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, listen. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made a ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrite. He'll die. What he would have got will go to hypocrites. Never be part of that bride. He'll be in the tribulation, his gnashing of teeth. That's where he'll die. Now listen. What is the servant going to be doing? He is going to be giving meat in due season. What is the meat in due season? Hear it for yourself. Spiritual food in due season. What was it? The food which people are dying for and starving, because the book tells us that it's a famine for the word. Brother Branham said it's stored up on tapes. And remember, there's a couple men that weren't preachers who were trying to get something across. We're not naming names because I don't believe personalities enter here. I believe it's all a picture. And the picture is this, that there's going to be true men who teach this word. Whether people say the ministry is no longer available because the fivefold ministry is gone. It looks to me like if you take something out of the book, there's a danger of having a name taken out of the book of life. Or I don't need to read my Bible. No, I'm not in defense of any ministry. I just got to preach the word. But the prophet said the food in due season was what was laid up on those tapes. Now this is a most presumptuous saying by a man, or it's the truth. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul. How presumptuous was Paul when he said, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he say, change one word and you're lost? Because he said the bride would go to her death by changing the word. He said, if I come or an angel of God come, let him be accursed. Now you know, brother, sister, depart me, ye cursed, is not part of the bride who comes in by saying, blessed of my Lord. That word's important. See? We stand with that word. Now, who is that faithful servant? What should we be doing at this end time? What is our job? Our job, who believe this message, is to get this word out every single time we can and stand with it. In other words, my brother, my sister, I cannot see an evangelistic appeal in this age, according to what we have and know now, outside of the word of God, as has been vindicated by a prophet. Who is that faithful servant? He that's giving the word out in due season. What season are we due for, brother, sister? The resurrection. What do we do for? The manifestation. What do we do for? The rapture. What do we do for? The millennium. What do we do for? The ultimate. The wind-up. That's what we're due for. And give the food in due season. See? Look, we've been taking this book for 2,000 years now and preaching it. And what if a man came by that's vindicated according to the Bible and said, when that man comes, you hear him and you fear him. Not standing now preaching a man, preaching the word of God. Let me ask you, how does the Word of God get fulfilled? It gets fulfilled in the man. John the Baptist came saying, I'm the Word of God. They said, who are you? He said, I'm Isaiah 40. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm the Word of God manifested in human flesh. You believe that? It's the truth. What else is it? What if God came on the scene and said, let there be a microphone? He said, glory to God. That's the Word of God. It is? Certainly it's the Word of God. If God said, let there be a microphone, that microphone appeared. That's the Word of God manifested in a microphone. And if God said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, then that's the Word of God manifested in flesh. Then when God said in Revelation 10 and 7, in the days of the voice of seven church age messengers, then that's the Word of God manifested in flesh. That's not the Word of God. That's not the incarnation. That's that Word. That's not the book. That's that part of the book. What about the day when you get changed and get your glorified body? Is that Word of God? What else could it be? When you're healed, is that Word of God? What else could it be? When you're given help and aid, what is that? That's the Word of God. See? That's where we stand. Giving the meat in due season. See? Now listen. He said he'll make him ruler over all of his goods. See? He's an authority. Stick with the Word. All right, I'm closing by reading. Brother Branham, the seed is not ere the shuck. There's some of them that's sick. Some of them physically sick. I want you to pray. Eagle, pray for your brother. Sister Eagle there as I pray for you here. Another brother pray for brother, sister for sister. May the Spirit of God come upon you. Remember, I'm giving you the food of eagles, the promise of God. He called his prophets eagles. He calls himself an eagle. He's Jehovah Eagle. And while your hands are laid upon one another, pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, your word said, the last commission you gave to your church was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The general orders. See? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they should drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't hurt them. If they take up serpents, they'll not harm them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. O Jehovah Eagle, feed your little ones tonight upon that word, Lord. They're needy. That's the diet they need. That's what they need to know what the food is, what thus saith the Lord is. Now, why did God give a man, thus saith the Lord? In order that you know he's the one to hear. And then what is the crux of the whole ministry? For hearing. See? Now, you promised if they laid their hands on one another, they would recover. O Lord God, take all doubts and vulture ideas away from us now. And we feed solemnly upon the eagle food of the Word of God, that every unclean spirit that's in these people, every spirit of doubting, every spirit of fear, every denominational claim, every habit, every sickness, every disease that's among the people leave, in the name of Jesus Christ, may it come out of this group of people. And may they be free from this hour on, that they can eat the eagle food that we're believing you'll send us through the week, Lord, breaking open these seals. See, the seals didn't just break open for 1 week in March of 63. It was a continuous revelation what was under them. The Word of God. To me, the mysteries. See, because that's the Word of God come down from heaven. The revealed Word. That's a quote. The prophet. Now, the showing us those mysteries, see, that's been hid from the foundation of the world, as you promised. They are yours, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's his prayer. What are you feeding on? Not the word that somebody else said by comparing scripture. Not what somebody else can prove by the laws of psychology, psychology that God has even laid down in his word, but the revelation of the word. See? Standing in reality of faith, because faith is a revelation. Flesh and blood is not revealed unto me, my Father which is in heaven. It's a revelation. See? Standing on your perfect faith. Brother, sister, there's where we stand today. You realize that? You're not standing what somebody thinks. You're not standing on what the best debater could stand up and throw the Word of God at a man. My, you could have debaters with the Word of God that could make a Christian look sick. Sure, I mean a real, genuine, born-again person could look sick by some man with a brilliant mind. Quote verse after verse. Take verse after verse and say, listen, these verses go together, and they could be 1,000,000 miles off the mark. But he said at the end time, there would come a ministry. He said at the end time, when the fullness, when you're coming to that, the measure of the full stature, where Brother Branham preached, the stature of perfect man. We'll talk about that in the next message on adoption. He said there's going to come that ministry at the end time. See? Now, I believe it. And as I say, I place it in the resurrection period. That's exactly where it is. But I place it before the resurrection, before the people come out of the grave. You place it where you feel it. You study those tapes and see where it goes. See? But remember, Brother Branham himself was not resurrected when he was placed as a son according to Brother Roberson's vision, standing in the gap. Because the vision said, hear him, he's got the authority. Now, when the third pole comes into the total law of the law, you won't have to be down in hell preaching the William Branham, the Jesus Christ, the Paul, the Apostle. Brother, sister, the critic's mouth will be shut. It's going to be too late. I believe that's what the scripture is. Because there's coming a day. There's coming a day, brother, sister, when like the flood, I believe with all my heart, when the door was closed and the manifestation was over, as far as the building of the ark was concerned, and now he came within the ark. And they laughed. they taunted. And they said, there's no water up there. That's right, there wasn't any water up there. It was all H and O. Then God sent the lightning. And by electrolysis, he joined the H and the O, so it was H2O. And it came down 40 feet over the mountain. And brother, sister, when the rain began to fall, it was too late to come into the ark. Are we seeing a type there? Could be. But there is the third pull in the bride when the squeeze comes down. You say, Brother Bear, will their souls be saved at that time? I don't know. I haven't studied that much. You say, well, from what he said, it looks like it could be all over. Could be all over. But he said, standing for the law. I don't know which way. I'm not up here to tell you which way it's going to go. I don't know. But I know one thing. He laid it out there for us, brother, sister, that there is a ministry in the bride when she becomes one with that word. And to me, that ministry is not some earth-shaking ministry of emptying hospitals and doing great things which we know are going to be with the two witnesses. Whatever they do is going to be greatly manifested. But brother, sister, to me, it's going to be what Brother Branham said, when the church is positionally placed, when every member will, by the word of God and his infilling of the Spirit, we're all one. He will just be doing those things that are natural. Like my finger doesn't have to say to the foot, hey, do you think I ought to act this way? From the head, the finger just does the fingers to do. Thumb does the thumb to do. Wrist does the limbs do. Shoulders what they do. Toes what they do. It'll be, to me, a living monument to Christ. You say, do you know any more about it? Don't know any more about it. I don't know how it's going to be. Brother Branham said, nobody knows it's going to be. You don't know. I don't know. But we know from what he said, the essence. And that's what I'm preaching tonight. There is a manifestation of the sons of God, and it's coming. It comes at the end time. And we're now there, for this is that age. The Lord bless you. I think Brother Palmer wants to continue service, so let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray now at the end of this word. For your people, O God, here. Lord, I haven't tried to preach hard, didn't want to preach mean under any condition, nor to take away from anybody what anybody has, not for 1 minute. Because, Lord, you never took away from the church age what they had. In the first, you added. And the second, you added to that. And the third age, you added. You gave your word in a portion, like the manna behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies. It didn't corrupt. And the high priest could go in and take a little portion. And it was a portion for each high priest. So, Lord, in every age, we believe the incorruptible Word of God came forth. And, Lord, we don't take from anybody. But we're fearful for those who refuse to receive, having already taken of a portion. Lord, I pray for every individual soul tonight. Be there one, two, or a dozen, or how many, who might have come so far, and then, O Lord, not receive the word with faith which is preached at this last day. Lord, don't anybody come up to this gate, as they can understand so clearly by history how tragic it was for the Dark Ages of papal perjury. For surely they perjured themselves, saying they were of God and they weren't of God. How they turned down the man that they gave the doctrine to and said, teach and preach the Word of God fearlessly. And when he was born again and preached the Word, they even wanted to kill him. And then, Lord, we think of those people that raised up under his name and how they were so hard on men like Wesley and Fletcher, men of God. And then, Lord, how they outlived their day. And here come the Pentecostals with tremendous revelation, restoration of gifts, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they were laughed at, scoriated, shot at. Some were killed, despised, branded of the devil. What a tragic thing. And now, Lord, today, when they saw the prophet, many did not move on. God help us all to move on, Lord. Father, in this night, it might be that there be some that are very complacent. Surely, lying in the sun to ripen is a wonderful thing, and we're doing it. But, Lord, let us never forget that other grains also wants to lie in that sun and ripen. And how can they know except through the ripening of the Son of the Word? Lord, help us to be strongly evangelical, to never stop casting that net in case there be just one more. Lord, the passion on our hearts, may it be as our own brother had when he preached that one time, one more time, Lord. God, may we still realize that there's a dying world and we're responsible. Don't let anybody, Lord, turn down any opportunity to take forth this message. Bless everyone that's gone out. We think of Tommy Dillard in Africa, going over there to witness, Lord. Never thinking of coming back to America, saying, this is it. I'm going over. I'm waiting for the Lord to come. This is all I know. Father, bless him, we pray, and give him many souls for his hire. May he be used mighty of thee, O God. We know he's going to be a faithful witness. He knows what it is to suffer deprivation, Lord. Give him a voice, O God, of a trumpet. We pray for those over there, Lord, wherever they be, in the other lands, trying to minister. Lord, be with them tonight. Hold up their hands, O God. Anoint them, we pray. Just revive them, Lord Jesus. Thank you for hearing the good news around the land, how your Spirit's breathing upon people. The Lord, may each one of us have a real powerful anointing to get out the Word, knowing, Lord, if it's as important as we say it is, then, O God, there must be a fervor to match it. For surely, Lord, you never ever gave an important word at any time to anybody without the fervor and the ability to spread it. Let men turn it down. That's no consequence. That doesn't mean a thing. But, Lord, there's going to be a demonstration of fervor amongst the people that this is the light. God grant it. Not let anybody, Lord, just lay down on the battle line. Let anyone cool off, Lord. But let each one stand strong. Let the oil and the wine, O God, flow amongst your people. Father, we pray that. And now, Lord, as we continue service, whatever might be done, those with needs, Lord, prayer requested. Those, Lord, with physical problems, we pray tonight, Lord God, that they'll understand what the prophet prayed in that February meeting in the last year upon earth, that the people could receive healing, feasting on the Word of God, could come into a place of victory in their bodies. Lord, tonight I pray for that. Grant, my God, that Your Word be fulfilled in the people's lives. And we'll be careful, Lord Jesus, to give You the praise, because this is what we're jealous of, is the honor and glory of Thyself. Oh God, to know that perhaps for 1 minute of the years we've tried to serve You, to know that there was those times where we gave You real glory, where Your name was uplifted. This is the crowning achievement of our lives, Lord, to know that You have received back from us, oh God, a measure of what You gave us. Lord, we pray this and thank You for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.